On the screen there, you'll see we are, you can back up to the first one there. If you can find it. We are, well, let's see. It's not moving. Okay. We've got a problem here. Hold on just a minute. Yeah. It's up here, but it's not up here. We're having a little PowerPoint problem, but you are, it froze somehow. But I've got it written down, so that's okay. Hey, I never get up here without it written down. Is that it? No, it's still not working, huh? Okay, we'll worry about that later. You won't see slides, but I'll call it out for you. I'll tell you what we're talking about. So we are looking at, this is third time. This is the third episode of Hearing from God. Hearing from God. Now, hearing from God is a bit controversial for some people. They think, well, that means you saw visions, you get something where you write a new book of the Bible. Some people feel that way, I guess. But that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about visions. There are some in the Bible you see. We're not talking about things that that give people the idea they can manage your life better than you can. You know, people that want to impose what they've seen or heard. It's about hearing from God for you personally. And what does that mean? Well, hearing from God is, we're going to look at John chapter 19. This is the verse I had up earlier, John chapter 19. John chapter 10, verse 27. You remember the passage, don't you? Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. They follow me, and I know them." He said that when he's talking to that in John 10 about the good shepherd. We've all heard that one, right? He's the good shepherd. We are his sheep. But he said something about sheep. They hear my voice. They hear my, like shepherds did in the first century. I told you that last week, that shepherds in the first century had more of a relationship in the sense that they had their flocks were relatively small most of the time. And they would go in, and there would be several flocks in the pen at night, and they'd go in. And Jesus talks about the gatekeeper letting him in. He said, I'm not a thief. The thief comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. And so Jesus said, I'm not the one who destroys and steals and kills. I am the good shepherd. And in being the good shepherd, he said, my sheep hear my voice. They hear my voice, and I know them. I know them. Does he know you? That's one of the big secrets to hearing from God. You probably have had that experience on the phone back in the day. Some of us in here, you know, back in the dark ages, we didn't have caller ID. You didn't know who was calling. And so you just picked up the phone anyway. As soon as you heard that voice, you probably knew that was mama or that's daddy or that's my sister or whatever it is. Can you hear God's voice if you're close to God? Oh, your spiritual life. We talked about that in class. Your spiritual life is so important, because it sensitizes you to what's going on in the spirit realm, your spiritual life. How do you get that? We'll talk about that later. But this idea is you're hearing from God because your spirit has become sensitive to God. And you don't get that from the world, do you? The world is noisy. It's a big place. And bad things happen, even to good people. I told you the story many years ago of a Native American that came to New York to visit his cousin. You remember that story? They're walking down the street, and a New York street, busy, all the traffic and taxis and buses and all of that. And this Native American lived on way out west where it was more like what they all grew up with. And he said, walking down the street to his New York cousin, he said, I hear a cricket. And the cousin said, yeah, can you hear a cricket out here? Sure enough, he said, well, I just hear the cricket. He walked over to a planter box, picked out a cricket. How could he hear a cricket? He was tuned into that, right? In the bulletin today, I talked about this thing called the mosquito alarm. Do you know what that is? You can look it up on Wikipedia, and you can actually hear it. I mean, they'll play it for you, but I couldn't hear it. Why couldn't I hear it? Because only people under 25 years old can hear it. It's a buzzing sound that scientists discovered. Sounds a little like a mosquito. That you play that, and people under 25 can hear it, but people older than that, I just passed over 25 myself, and so quite a few years ago, but people over 25 for some reason can't hear it. Their hearing has lost some of its sensitivity. So, convenience stores and property management people put those things in so they keep the teenagers from loitering around their convenience store and getting into trouble. But old folks can't hear it, so it doesn't bother the older customers. They walk in and they don't even hear it. So if you go to Wikipedia, you can hear it. Or maybe you can't hear it, but they'll play it for you. And you may not be able to hear it if you're over 25. Did you know your hearing, it's sensitive to certain things, and certain things it's not sensitive to. Animals, can your dog hear things you can't hear? Yeah. All of a sudden the dog's barking and you're watching TV or something and you think, must be somebody at the door. The dog heard it, right? Sensitizing our hearing. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. So can you learn to hear from God? Yes, you can learn. You can learn. Did you know our ancestors in the faith, many, many moons ago, our ancestors were good at listening to God's voice. I'm going to read some scripture from the book of Acts. You'll see some of it on the screen here. And you can write these down. I'm going to read them just to show how the early church learned to listen to God. So don't fall into that trap of saying, well, that was them, this is us. No, we're part of the same lineage. Do you know a lot of people love to go back and look up their genealogy and find out we got a relative that traced his back 13 generations. That's a lot. 13, he did all the work. I've been in his office where he's got notebooks all over the place. He collected all this data. And that was a lot of that was done before Ancestry and all these things online. But he showed me the things he had done. He traced it back 13 generations and found out that a relative of his, 13 generations ago, was mayor of one of the big towns in England. Back that far back. Why do people do that? Well, they look for some connection. Do you know how far back our heritage goes in God and the church? A lot further than 13 generations. In fact, sometimes the Bible alludes to the idea, Paul said, that if you have faith, you're a child of Abraham. So we go back, we get our bodies from Adam and Eve. That's a long time ago. And we get our faith from Abraham. He was one of the ones that first ones to really have faith in God. And so we get our faith from him in a sense. He was the early example of somebody hearing from God and listening to God and having faith without having tangible evidence. Abraham didn't have a Bible. Abraham didn't have a church to go to. Abraham didn't have friends that had heard from God. So our heritage goes back in the church. It goes back a long way, and it goes back 2,000 years ago, roughly, to the book of Acts. This is the same church. I know we got different varieties these days of churches all over the place, but you can bypass all that and go back to what this says. If you do what they did, you'll be what they were. If you do what they did, you'll be what they were. So a lot of people are confused by all the different denominations and churches and people have told me or asked me, how do I get past all that? I say, go back to the book of Acts. Do what they did, you'll be what they were. Our ancestors listened to his voice. Acts, I'll read, there's quite a few here. I'm going to read them quickly. You can write these down, read them for yourself later, because it helps. Notice how they listened, and then they were able to speak. Acts 4, verse 8. Peter. Did Peter ever hear from God? Acts 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and ask how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus. What did Peter say? He said what he was hearing. Jesus told his disciples in the last chapters of the book of John, Now, when you get out there, don't worry about what you're going to say. Spirit will be with you. Spirit will lead you into all truth. The Spirit will guide you. So Peter, who could not, Peter could not find the courage to acknowledge Christ in front of all those enemies when they were putting Jesus on trial. He couldn't even say, I follow him. He said, I don't even know the man. They kept badgering him, Peter, to say, don't you know him? Don't you know him? Don't you? You're from Galilee, don't you know? I don't know the man. I don't know. Here's the man who said he would follow Jesus all the way to prison and to death. And when the chips were down, he said, no, not me. What's he doing now in the book of Acts? Speaking to some of the same people and saying, we healed this crippled man by the name of Jesus. They kept preaching the name of Jesus, and finally they pulled him in several times and they said, stop it. You can't preach in the name of Jesus. You're trying to make us guilty of this man's blood. Did they stop? They're hearing from God. That's Acts 4 verse 8. Here's another one. Acts 4:31. Notice how the church itself heard from God. This is when some of them had been arrested. They came back and they were determined to not stop preaching this name. And they come to verse 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, for a lot of people, that's controversial. Filled with the Spirit. What does that mean? Well, what happens when you're filled with the Spirit? Here's a good one right here. The main thing that happens when you're filled with the Spirit is you're filled with the voice of God. You're filled with the Spirit. It said they were filled with the Holy Spirit and did what? Spoke the Word of God boldly. They didn't back up. When you're hearing the voice of God, you can speak things you never thought you would say. You can be bold in situations that used to intimidate you. Like Peter used to be intimidated, now he's speaking boldly. The whole church now had heard, and they're speaking boldly. Acts chapter 6, verse 10. Acts chapter 6, verse 10. Stephen, you remember the story of Stephen, don't you? One of the deacons. Man, verse 8, Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from the members of the synagogue of the freedmen. And it says, verse 10, but they could not stand up against his wisdom or the Spirit by whom he spoke. Stephen. They said, this man's got something on him we can't withstand. What? Spirit. And Spirit was speaking through Stephen. And Stephen, actually, he dumbfounded all of his enemies. They finally killed him because they hated him so much. But he had the Word of God in him and he spoke it out. That's Acts 6, verse 10. Acts 8, verse 29. Did God speak to the early church? Chapter 8, verse 29. This is about Philip in Samaria. Philip was another deacon, and he went to Samaria to preach after they were scattered out of Jerusalem up to the northern area, and he's preaching. And as he's preaching, he has several, I guess you'd say, successes. And in chapter 8, verse 29, chapter 8, verse 29, the Spirit told Philip. What? Philip was not an apostle. He was not one of the original 12. The Spirit told this man, who was a deacon and a preacher, told Philip, go to that chariot. He singled it out. There's a chariot right over there. Probably a bunch of them over there, but there's one right there. And just stay there. Stand there near it. Did Philip hear from God? Okay, the Spirit told him, what? Go stand over there by that chariot. What did Philip do? Went over there by that chariot. And he stood there. What happened when he stood there? He stood there and it says, he ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. See, when he got there and he obeyed the voice of God, he knew what to say when the time came. Don't worry about that. Don't say, I don't know, if God tells me to do something, how will I handle that? I won't be able to. Philip evidently didn't say that. He went. And it came to him as he stood there, heard a man reading Isaiah the prophet. And this was a a black man from Ethiopia came up to worship. Pardon me. As they came to worship from all over the world at the temple and in that area, they were Jews, but they lived in other places, and they came, and this Ethiopian treasurer came. And so he left that meeting reading his Bible, the scrolls of Isaiah, trying to learn more. He had been at the big meeting, now he's trying to learn more. So he's hearing, or he's reading, and when this man gets there, when Philip gets there, he says to the eunuch, heard the man reading, do you understand what you're reading? So here's the eunuch, the man from Ethiopia, and he's reading the scrolls. Here comes Philip. Who told Philip to go there? Spirit. The voice. He didn't know when Philip headed that way, he didn't know what God was going to tell him to do. So he didn't pre-plan all of this. And he goes up to the chariot, and here's a man reading Isaiah. Well, Philip had heard the reading of Isaiah before, hadn't he? And he said, what are you reading? And the man said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone explains it to me? Why did the Spirit send Philip over there to teach this man the gospel? How can I except someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this scripture, and it's Isaiah 53, from chapter 53. Verse 34. This is Acts 8:34. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me please, who's the prophet talking about, himself or somebody else? Philip began with that very passage, and what did he do? Preached Jesus. Isn't that something? Preached Jesus from Isaiah 53. Guess what? They didn't have a New Testament yet. It was in the process. Being led by the Spirit was vital for them. Is it vital for us living in this crazy world? To hear from God, hear from the voice of God. Yes, it's part of your birthright as a believer. It's not something weird or new. It's not new. It was 2,000 years ago. I said that a while ago. Albert Lemons comes here and speaks at our prayer workshop. He would look at that and say, that's been in there a long time. Has it been in there a long time? Uh-huh. Is that for us? Yes. Hearing from God. Acts 9, verse 4. I won't go too deeply into this one, but we all know what happened to Saul of Tarsus. On the road to Damascus, chapter 9, verse 4, Saul heard this, there was a bright light, and he fell to the ground. He was blinded. And verse 4 says, he fell to the ground, heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? And said, I am Jesus. Saul of Tarsus became Paul the apostle, right? Now, what happened to him in verse 4? He heard what? A voice. The voice of Jesus. What did Jesus say? Stop persecuting my church. And then he said, go into Damascus and it'll be told to you what you must do. Did he have an encounter with the Lord? Did he hear something? God likes to talk to us. Next one is Acts chapter 9, verse 10. Acts chapter 9, verse 10. Ananias. Ananias was not an apostle. And it says in verse 10, in Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. Spoke to him in a vision. Ananias, yes, Lord. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. Ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. How much does the Holy Spirit know? Look at this. He gave him a specific place, house of Judas, a specific street. He's better than Google Maps, isn't he? He knows exactly where this man lives. Ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. And by the way, he's praying. Knows everything about the situation. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. So Ananias went. Did Ananias, who was not an apostle, hear the voice of God? He did. He did. The next one, Acts 9, 31. Acts 9, 31. The church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. Back up and look at that again. Church throughout Judea. This is a lot of territory here. Church throughout Judea. That's in the south where the temple was. Galilee. That's up north. That's way up 80, 90 miles north. And that's where Jesus and all the apostles, most of the early followers were raised. Galilee. Farming country. And Samaria. That's the place in between the north and the south that many had to go through to get to Jerusalem. But Samaria had been hostile to Jesus at times. So look at this. This church is widespread now. It's in Jerusalem, has merged all the way up into Samaria, which they weren't really Jews. They were kind of half Jewish. And then up to the northern area where Galilee, where Jesus was raised. And it says the church throughout all that huge area enjoyed a time of peace. This was after some of the persecutions had slowed down. It was strengthened, the church, all throughout that area, the whole group, all these, I don't know how many congregations there were by now, but thousands of people, encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers and living in the fear of the Lord, encouraged by the Holy. How did he encourage them? How did he encourage them? Send them a telegram, send them an email. How did the Spirit encourage them? He talked to them. Huh? You know, the Holy Spirit's not mute. He's not deaf. He can speak. In fact, Jesus said he'll be your teacher. He'll be your teacher. Now, if somebody's 1,000 miles away and they can't hear me talking, I'm not doing much teaching for them, am I? They can't hear me. They might hear this later online, but right now they can't hear me. The Spirit was talking to them. We don't get a lot of details, but we do later in some of these others. That's Acts. Which one was that one? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did that one, 9:31, right? 9:31. Acts chapter 10, verse 19. You see how much is in here? About this? Acts chapter 10, verse 19. Peter had a vision. And it says in verse 19, while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him. Spirit did what? Said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. Notice how specific the Spirit is. How many men? Three. Now, some manuscripts have other numbers, but the main one says, the main ones, three men looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. Peter went down. Peter heard the voice of the Spirit and went down. How do you hear the voice of the Spirit? Not through an intercom, not through a bullhorn, not written in the sky. How do you hear the voice of the Spirit? Believer, are you a believer? Believer, every time you hear the voice of the Spirit, it's right in here, and you've heard the voice of the Spirit in your conscience. I hope you have. I hope you've heard your conscience. So you know what that feels like. It's not a booming voice. God is very respectful of your freedom of choice. He won't make you do anything. The voice on the inside. Romans talks about the Spirit being a co-witness. He witnesses with us that we are children of God. In a way, your conscience is a co-witness, isn't it? You do something wrong. You go to the fast food, they give you $10 too much change, and you say, you almost walk out. You see that money, you think, now there's a crowd up here waiting to be served. I hate to go back over there and interrupt everything, and now they're trying to serve other people, and I got to go up there, and they'll never miss it. I mean, the poor cashier will at the end of the day, right? She'll be short $10. But a lot of people rationalize all that, don't they? So your rationalizing is going on, but what's the conscience saying? It's that other voice in there, right? The conscience is saying, no, you need to go back. What if it were you, short $10, how would you feel, right? So get these two voices going. Which one is the voice of the Spirit? The Spirit can work intimately with your conscience. But if you don't listen much, and if you don't obey what you hear, for lack of a better term, Spirit will just shut up and he won't tell you anything. So how do you get that kicked off again? You go back and you say, I apologize, I'm sorry. Please forgive me, Father, because I'm ready now. I'm ready to be led by the Spirit. So that was 10, 19, 11. He says almost the same thing. It's still Peter's case, 11, verse 12. Same story, but he's explaining it later to some of the people that questioned him about that. Acts 11, verse 12. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me. We entered the man's... That's him going to win, to speak the gospel to the first Gentile convert. So the Spirit said, don't hesitate. It's okay. Peter had to overcome a lot in that case because Peter was Jewish and he was raised Jewish. And he said earlier, I've never eaten anything unclean. He was Jewish to the core. And now he's told to go to a Gentile's house. And the Spirit says, don't hesitate. Don't worry about it. Go do what I tell you to do. Because he's going into a Gentile's house, which was illegal for a Jew in that day to do. Against their law. He could have been thrown in jail for that by the high priest. But the Spirit said, don't hesitate. That's chapter 11, verse 12. Next one. Chapter 11, verse 28. 11, verse 28. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, each according to his own ability, pardon me, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. What's going on here? They're taking up money to send from these Gentile churches back to Jerusalem to help the Christians down there who are suffering and starving. What did the Spirit, verse 28, what did the Spirit tell Agabus? A famine is coming. A famine is coming throughout the Roman world. And so the disciples, each according to his ability, said, we want to help. This is up in Antioch, which was a Gentile church. They're not going to be affected quite as much, but they decided right away by hearing what this prophet said, we're going to send money. Did the Spirit speak through this man? Sure did. Acts 13, verse 2. The whole church heard. 13, verse 2. Acts 13, verse 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. Is that a good thing to do? Mm-hmm. Worship the Lord and fast once in a while? Mm-hmm. As they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, he's pretty talkative in the book of Acts, isn't he? Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they fasted and prayed, so that didn't happen right away. They got the message from the Spirit, and he said, he's able to talk, by the way, and he said, I want Barnabas, he was specific, I want Barnabas and I want Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they fasted and prayed, that took a while longer, at least another several hours, if not another day. So when you hear from God, it's good to get yourself ready by some prayer and fasting. If he calls you to do some big thing that you're a little afraid of, just do some prayer and fasting. That's what they did. They continued this. They fasted. After they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Verse 4. The two of them sent on their way by the Holy Spirit. Whose idea was that? Whose idea was that? The Holy Spirit. Can he make his ideas known? He said, Jesus said, the Spirit will tell you all these things. And he said that the Father, the Spirit will take from what is mine and give it to you. Jesus said that in John, the Gospel of John. Spirit will take what it from what is mine and give it to you. What I got, he said, is what my Father gave me. So from the Father to Jesus to the Spirit and into us. Acts 15, verse 28. 15, verse 28. Verse 27, therefore we are sending Judas and Silas to confirm by word of mouth that what we are writing, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Huh? What's going on here is some of the very legalistic, early legalistic in a sense, tried to follow the law of Moses, be Christians and follow the law of Moses. They said these Gentiles can't come into this unless they're all circumcised and keep the law of Moses. Well, the church in Jerusalem had a big meeting. Elders, apostles, everybody got together. And they said, what are we going to do about this? You got a faction here that says they have to be circumcised and keep the law. We don't believe that's right. Paul and Barnabas, I think, spoke for it and said, no, they're not going to have to do that. It's all by God's grace. And they met about that. And then when they sent a letter to the church, the Gentile churches, to say, don't bother about all this. Don't let them bother you about this. Just serve Jesus. Their letter said, it seemed good to us. Who's us? Apostles, elders, prophets, all down in Jerusalem. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. How'd they know what seemed good to the Holy Spirit? They must have asked him, and he must have talked to them. So it seemed good. Sometimes when you hear from God, you don't know much detail. But if it's something your conscience tells you to act on, you just act on it. Acts 16 and verse 6. Paul and his companions travel throughout the region. Pardon me. At the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the Word. That's weird to some people. Having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the Word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Asia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So sometimes you get what some people call a check. You get this thing in the spirit, in your spirit, your conscience or whatever, and you just think, I'm not supposed to do that. It may seem like a good idea. It may be something I heard of a church one time that they planned their mission work by putting up a map of the world and threw darts at it. Wherever the dart landed, well, let's go to that country. Sometimes the Spirit would say, not yet. They're not ready yet. Here's your assignment. Go here. Paul got a dream the next night, or that night, of a man of Macedonia saying, come help us. So were they Spirit-led? Oh, we got a lot to learn about being Spirit-led, don't we? But it's an exciting life. When you're Spirit-led, oh, it's exciting. It is the help we need. The help we need to get the job done. The help we need to avoid pitfalls and mistakes. The only trick to that is, once the Spirit tells you what you need to do, you need to do it. Mm-hmm. Don't put it off. So if they had heard from the Spirit, they said, well, you know, we're supposed to go. He said, go to all the world and preach the gospel. But the Spirit said to them, not here and not now. Here's your assignment. And they went and they had great success where he sent them. Acts 20. Are we up to that one? Next slide. Yeah, Acts 20. 22. Acts chapter 20, verse 22. This is not all the ones I could find in the book of Acts, just the ones we have time for, and time's running short, isn't it? Acts 20, 22. And now compelled by the Spirit, Paul said, I'm going to Jerusalem. Not knowing what will happen to me there. The Spirit didn't tell him everything, did he? Sometimes, because you need to work by faith, walk by faith and not by sight, he won't tell you everything. He just says, go to Jerusalem. compelled or bound. The old Greek, I believe, or ancient Greek says bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. Don't know what will happen there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. That's the person that hears from God. You tell me, I'll do it. The Spirit said, but you're gonna face some prison time and some real hardship. Warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. But he said, I think the older version says, none of these things move me. Wow. What courage. Yes, it takes courage to act on what God tells you. But did Paul's life turn out okay? Uh-huh. We're talking about a man that lived 2,000 years ago. And emotions come up in us from hearing about this man. Did he do the right thing? He didn't argue with God. He didn't say, no, hardships, prison. Well, I certainly want to avoid that because my ministry will be cut short. No, his ministry was prolonged by doing what God told him to do. Chapter 21, verse 4. Finding the disciples there, we stayed with them 7 days. Through the Spirit, they urged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. They had heard from the Spirit, and the Spirit didn't tell them to persuade him not to go. The Spirit told them, Paul's coming. He's facing prison and hardships. Didn't the Spirit tell Paul that? So, if you add to what God says, you get in trouble. God didn't tell them. He wouldn't tell Paul to go and then tell them to stop him, right? He wouldn't contradict himself. He must have told them, they sensed in the Spirit that he was going to face a lot of trouble, and they loved Paul. They didn't want him to face all his hardship in prison. Through the Spirit, they urged Paul not to go. But when our time was up, we left and continued on our way. Did that slow Paul down? No. Some places, I think he left them with tears in his eyes. Acts 21, verse 11. 21, verse 11. Verse 10. After we had been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus, we've heard of him before, haven't we? Pretty powerful prophet. Came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, the Holy Spirit says, and this way the Jews of Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt, hand him over to the Gentiles. Well, he has a heritage from the Old Testament prophets where they acted stuff out, didn't they? And he acted it out. So what did he say? The Holy Spirit says. What did the Spirit say? This is how the Jews of Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and hand him over to the Gentiles. Oh, hearing from God sometimes is uncomfortable, isn't it? Paul knew as he went make this last trip back to Jerusalem, it might be tough. But God knew, the Father knew he could trust Paul. Do you want to be in that position where God knows he can trust you with his words? That he can trust you to do what he's calling you to do? You have to say, I know I'm going to do what he tells me to do. I just need strength to do it. You need strength to do it, don't you? I need the strength to do it. I need the strength to stay the course. I need the strength to face issues and still move on. Guess where that's going to come from? From him. As he leads you and guides you. 238, Acts 238. The reason I put Acts 238, which was at the beginning of the book of Acts, was it say, repent, be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you, your children, and all that are afar off. Do we have the same Spirit they did? Mm-hmm. Well, for some people, that kind of puts wrinkles in their religion and puts wrinkles in what they were taught as a kid, what they were taught in the church. I just put it to you this way. Do you want God or not? You want God or tradition? Jesus said one time, with your traditions, you're attempting to nullify the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? The Spirit will lead us as a church. He is leading us. He will lead you. He is leading you. He's attempting to. Have we all received the gift of the Spirit? Yeah, we have. Now, for sake of time, the next two slides, I put this on the slide here, and the other scriptures we'll go through quickly. Why don't all hear from God? Why doesn't everybody hear from God? Maybe there's a heart condition. Well, what's a heart condition? Next line. Unbelievers and lukewarm believers can't hear too well. The next slide has a scripture from Matthew, or from John, rather. John chapter 5, 38 through 40. John chapter 5, verse 38 to 40. Jesus told a group of Pharisees, or his enemies, "You have never heard his voice, or seen his word, or seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you." Oh, they are clueless, aren't they? These are his enemies that were trying to kill him. They eventually did. But God raised him up. The Father raised him up, didn't he? You've never heard what? You never what? Heard his voice. You've not seen his form. Had Jesus heard the voice? Always. He said, I don't say anything I don't hear my Father say. So he had to be hearing his Father somehow. You've never heard his voice nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you. You don't have any way to hear from him, yet you're attacking me, Jesus was saying. For you do not believe. Here's why. You do not believe the one he sent. Your faith life, your belief in him has to be ramped up. You have to say, I'm a believer. I want to believe. I want to grow in my faith. That next slide has the part about the lukewarm believers. Doesn't that, you remember the end of Revelation, or actually the beginning of Revelation, where he talks to the seven churches. And he said this to, do you remember the lukewarm church? Some of you know the name, Laodicea. Seven churches, he picked out seven churches in the beginning of Revelation, gave them messages. And the message to Laodicea was, you're lukewarm. I'm going to spit you out. I'm literally going to vomit you out. Warm spring water, mineral water, kind of make you sick, won't it? He said, here, you're lukewarm. Then later he said, here I am, to this church that was so lukewarm, he said, you make me sick. You don't pursue anything. You don't do anything. You don't quit, but you just won't do anything. You don't quit, but you just don't want to live this life. You don't want to jump into it with everything you got. You're lukewarm. You're lukewarm. And he said to them, I'm standing at the door, and I'm knocking. Why is he standing at the door knocking? Because he can't get in. He can't get into a lukewarm Christian. He can't get into a lukewarm church. And he says, I'm knocking. If anyone hears my voice, what? Anybody listening? That's what he's saying. I'm here. Knock, 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 knock on the door of this church. Not their church building. They probably didn't have one. But the entryway into their life, entryway into their Christian life, their discipleship. I'm knocking, but I can't get in. Nobody will let me in. If anyone hears my voice. So he's knocking. He's doing what else? Talking to them. He's talking to these Christians and nobody's listening. So I'm talking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, maybe some brave person, he said, will hear my voice and open the door. I will come in and eat with that person, fellowship with that person. I'm sure in a lot of dead, lukewarm churches, there's some people who are letting him in. And if it only takes one or two, he said, I'll come in. And we'll have fellowship. Do you want to hear from him? Basics of hearing from God. I did this last week, so I'll give you another quick run at it. Basics of hearing from God and interest in the Bible. Recognizing that voice starts with this, doesn't it? Don't think you could skip that step. Because some people skip that step and they hear voices, which is a problem. They hear voices in their head, confusing them. Voices in their head saying they ought to kill somebody. Voices in their head saying they ought to kill themselves. But I'm a Christian. Well, you're listening to the wrong voices. It's got to start with this. That's how you recognize the voice. Next one. A serious prayer life. Where do you expect to hear? The inside. So how are you going to cultivate your spiritual life? With a prayer life. Desire to know Him and hear Him. You've got to have a desire to hear Him or you won't hear Him. A willing heart. Did Paul have a willing heart? I'll go. Everybody's telling him, you know, the Spirit says, you're going to have trouble over there. He knew it, but he said, my life means nothing to me. None of these things move me. I'm going. He told me to go, I'm going. A willing heart. A willing heart. And the last one, a decision to be Spirit-led. I want to hear from God. I want to hear from God. I desire to hear from God. That's my great desire. I desire to hear from God. So, did the early church, or actually our ancestors in the church, did they hear from God a lot? Yes. It's our birthright. We can, if you pursue it, you can hear from God. Last slide, we're going to pray over this notebook. Mm-hmm. How did Lydia get into the church? It says the Lord opened her heart. The Lord opened her heart. Book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 14. So we're going to pray for open hearts. Father, we ask you that all these individuals in this notebook we have been praying over for quite a while, all of these, Father, hear from you. We pray that your voice will come, that their hearts will open, that as that happens, they'll come to Christ. Many of them already have. We know a few, and I imagine there are many others that already have. We're excited about that. We know, Father, that you are the answer. We can't make them hear it and understand it. We can't make them open their heart, but you can work with them in ways that we don't even understand, don't even know about. And as you do that, Father, that their hearts will open to you. This is so vital, so important. Their eternity is at stake. Even those who have fallen away, maybe, that are in that book. Their eternity is at stake. They will live forever somewhere or other. They'll either live with you or live with the devil for the rest of their existence, if it ever ends. So, Father, we pray. We know this is your passion to reach people. So we're asking, knowing that you said if we don't ask, we don't have. So we're asking. We want to be a part of the solution, not part of the problem. So as we're doing that, Father, as we're praying to you, we thank you for your grace into the lives of these folks, that as your grace appears, their hearts will open. Thank you, Father. Thank you for speaking and making yourself well known to us in Christ's name. Amen.